The second challenge is create a marriage that is partner-focused rather than child-focused. Having spent the last quarter of a century relating in 30-second sound bites as we handed off car keys, ate quick bites of pizza, and scrambled to keep up with our children's hectic schedules, spending an entire evening together without interruption seemed like a challenge rather than a treat. What do we talk about? Do we have anything in common besides our kids and our work? How would we redefine our roles now that our kids were gone? We faced a new era in our relationship. We had looked forward to being just two again. But now that we were, we need to redefine our relationship. During the parenting years, our relationship was focused around the demands of our parenting and career rather than around our marriage. Now that our children were grown, we no longer had their activities or crises as a focus. We had time to carry on a conversation, time to take a walk, whatever.
Frankly, we felt uneasy with all of this time together. We were conditioned to feel guilty if we weren't doing two things at once. And we quickly realized that our old style of relating was not going to be sufficient. As you begin the second half of marriage, roles may switch. Rules may change. At this time of life, many wives become more focused and assertive and are eager to try their professional wings, especially if they dedicated the first half of life to nurturing and parenting their children. Some women pursue educational studies. About this time, most husbands decide it's time to slow down and enjoy life a little bit more. For men at 50, work is not so important. How can we refocus a long-term marriage? What can we do in midlife to promote growth and intimacy?
Our mentor, Dr. David Mace, who is a behavioral scientist, writes, "We need to understand clearly that a relationship of intimacy only becomes possible between two people when they are able to take down their defenses, open up their inner selves, and make themselves vulnerable to each other. This is actually what intimacy really means, as the term shared privacy suggests. This kind of intimacy is possible in what David Mace calls a companionship marriage, wherein marriage is a partnership. Dr. Mace defines companionship marriage in the following way. Companionship marriage is a socially registered commitment between a man and a woman in which they seek to know themselves and each other as far as they are capable of being known, and through mutual affection and affirmation, help each other to grow and change in order to become the loving and creative persons they are capable of becoming. One way we nurture our marriage is by continually adjusting to each other and striving to be partner-focused. The survival of long-term marriage depends on the complex process of mutual adjustment of the two people to each other. A strength of the companionship marriage is having a strong sense of being part of a couple. It is critical in the second half of marriage to develop a sense of we-ness. Judith Wallerstein, in her book The Good Marriage, writes, "We-ness gives marriage its staying power in the face of life's inevitable frustrations and temptations to run away or stray."
One caution. In a companionship marriage, couples have greater expectations for their marriage relationship. Their quest for intimacy leads to a degree of closeness that at the same time can generate conflict. A companionship marriage is more complicated and much more work, but it is worth the effort. As we begin the second half of marriage, like it or not, life changes. The dynamics of the relationship cannot remain the same, but these changes can be opportunities for growth. One of Dr. Mace's favorite illustrations of why companionship marriage is desired.